Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 8:38 Central African time, at the time of the morning where we join Ahmed Mandur Sheikh Imam on his segment of Parliamentary Tunes with MP Ahmed Mandur. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've been making the headlines, you've been embraced, you've been celebrated. 20 million media houses coming to you and asking you for interview. But I did it all, Ahmed. I did it before they could even touch you because you gave me breaking news. I did it with you. The people around the world congratulated you. But now, you're still so busy, Ahmed. Everyone's saying, Ahmed, you did it. Ahmed, you did it. But we embrace and celebrate you this morning also on what you did, because you are a man of action. You walk the talk, Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing, Ahmed, this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and shukran for those kind words. Beautiful day in the city of Cape Town. Little chilly, but I think it's going to clear up. Yes, indeed. Yes, I think the world is abuzz with that latest news. Very good news, in fact, for the Palestinian people. Alhamdulillah, they've been through a very tough time in wanting to visit South Africa. Conditions were very stringent. Most of them were rejected. In the understanding, apparently, of government all these days, they were a risk. Their state security raises concerns about security aspects in them visiting South Africa. And I couldn't understand that. If there was anybody that's a great risk to South Africa, is the Israelis coming in and going out freely as they were. They're taking money out of the country, bringing money into the country, training in the Israeli Defense Force. But of course, alhamdulillah, at least we've managed to achieve this. We've downgraded. The second thing is now Palestinian brothers and sisters are free to visit South Africa with no restrictions whatsoever for a 90-day period at a time. But also, I think we must also congratulate and thank government for the decision, particularly Minister Pando, also Minister Motsoaledi. He gave me the assurance, and I know it's becoming a nuisance, but he did give me the assurance that he will implement by end of June, that was diplomatic visas, which he did. And then he gave me the assurance that he was going to finalize that. I wrote to him a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago again. And alhamdulillah, he has managed to implement. If you now go onto the website and you look at the countries that are exempted from South African visas to come to South Africa, Palestine, alhamdulillah, is one of those on this list. So it's really, fabulous to see that our brothers and sisters, and I think we must take advantage of it and try and welcome them, try and invite them if we have the means, adopt some of them, families, get them, so at least they could come and relax a little bit in South Africa. They're on tension every moment. You don't know where, bombs are going to explode. You don't know when these Israelis are going to strike, So you can see what happened last week. 13,000 of them could not go to work. So yes, indeed, I think it's a great moment. And of course, now it's the next step. And the next step, of course, is to deal with the issue of those South Africans training in the Israeli Defense Force and the illicit financial flows. These are the next two things that we have to deal with. And of course, I want to urge our brothers and sisters, let's intensify the boycotting of Israeli products, Israeli companies doing business in South Africa. We need to have a conscience. If you walk in there and if you like to drink Tropica, and Tropica is made by Clover, and Clover is an Israeli company, then you need to take the alternative. That's exactly what you have, you have to do. And that's the only way. Sanctions work for where we are today. Sanctions can work for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. If you could, and anywhere in the world where there's human rights violation, annexation and things like that, we need to support those that are being oppressed so that, we create a better, safer, secure society, like what President Putin says, one dominating the other must come to an end.
Looking at a message that's coming through here, Tawfiq says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Mandur Sheikh Imam, well done once again. But may I remind you and also the listeners that diplomatic immunity of a Mossad, that they can land their planes wherever in the world. But what are they carrying in their baggages? What are they carrying in their luggages? Ask the people of 9/11 who perpetrated 9/11 and you get an answer. Ask the people who manufactures ISIS and the crisis. You get an answer. Now watch the space here, Ahmed. They will be targeting South Africa because they can't take things sitting down. This is a bitter pill for them to swallow. I know you are conscientized, Ahmed, but the repercussions are we worry about. Please, Ahmed, address this issue. How do you react?
When you do the right thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to protect you. And right now we are doing the right thing. That's the first thing. But my brother is absolutely correct. These Mossad agencies and others have been given a free range to do as and what they want. And yes, there will be repercussions for South Africa. I mean, you know, they can see, eventually they can see we, I mean, the downgrading was the first in the world. You know, they did not expect that. Despite all the money that they were putting and all the manipulation, political parties in the country supporting them, despite all that, and having so much of control, even working with the apartheid government, they never thought the day will come that we'll want to downgrade them. Now that we are allowing Palestinians the same privileges that we are allowing them is another slap in the face for them. And of course, now that we're going to deal with the issue of their South African training in Israeli Defense Force, money's coming in and going out, funding political parties in this country to destabilize and bring about regime change. These are the risks that we face if we don't do anything about it immediately. And we have to intensify that. And I have already started the process. I've spoken to Minister Pando. I've spoken to Minister Motsoaledi, Defense. I've written now to them, and I would want to know when are they going to do it. You know, we have to deal with this. It's a very, very serious problem. So, but yes, you are correct. You know, the West will see that South Africa is slowly, you know, the grip that they've had on South Africa is slowly disappearing, my brother. And what does that simply tell you? That they're not going to just sit back and do nothing about it. So we must be prepared for that. But be that as it may, what we should be doing, and I mean, I must also say, I don't know what happened to our president recently, because I don't know what you guys gave him to eat or drink, but he's just saying the right things at the right time in the right place. Even in the United Nations, he spoke about Palestine. He spoke about Western Sahara. He's been speaking a lot of good things. In fact, the other day when I addressed him on the issue of the wealth of the country should belong to the people of the country, and how long can we let our, you know, get the crumbs from the mineral wealth? He agreed with me. We need to take back our wealth. And I said, at least a 50-50. So president is saying the right thing. Perhaps I don't know what happened, be that as it may. But I think it's important to note, yes, there might be some repercussion, nothing we can't deal with. You understand? We must strengthen our trade ties with the BRICS countries and things. And inshallah, we will be okay. I always say, and I'll say it again, Allah, they can all plan. Allah is the bigger planner. Allah has got bigger plans. So don't worry. We will be protected because we are doing the right thing. It's very sad, though, that I have to say this, that I wish that the Muslim countries who are aiding and abetting and associating with the Israelis will come to the, you know, right senses and do the right thing.
Well, I'm laughing. Yeah, I'm looking at a message from Yusuf, and he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Mandoor Sheikh Imam. You made me chuckle just now. Perhaps Cyril Ramaphosa is smelling the coffee. Yeah, he's definitely smelling the coffee. And he goes on to say, Ahmed Mandoor Sheikh Imam, we must not forget that these are big supermarkets like the PP brand. And you know, one of the presidents had just passed on. I mean, every percentage of the sales used to go to support the Zionist state of Israel. And still, we have these people that are in very powerful positions in this country. And one of those parties that have the same color, not like your Durban City color, but this is the other color, the same color. But they are supporting these bloodthirsty regimes that are perpetrating genocide against innocent peoples of the Palestinians. Ahmed, your response. That's a very good observation, Ahmed.
Well, yes, you have to correct. But what is worse is that there are people in our own Muslim countries that are supporting these people as well. You know, this is what I can or want to assert. If we all work together and put pressure onto them, you can achieve the freedom in our lifetime for our Palestinian brothers and sisters. But they won't do that. So, you know, there is, as far as the president, yes, I think he must have had some good coffee, maybe. The rooibos coffee, the coin sand, you know, they're claiming rights over the rooibos, which is there.
Or the boer coffee.
The rooibos, because the coin sand believe that, you know, they need royalties based on that in any event. But be that as it may, yes, I there is no doubt about it. That there are those, even in this country, and this is what I'm disturbed about. You know, Brother Shavad, last night, I was listening to some of the videos of Brother Nazir Naik.
Zakir Naik.
Yes, yes, I was listening to him. And, you know, he said some great things, you know. In fact, I have to listen to more and more, because very educational in what he says and how he convinced people, how he makes them understand something they never actually thought, you know. But so, and that's what our people fail here in this in our country and many others, to look at the human right violation. I'm not asking them to look at nothing else, nothing, but the human right violation. And all I'm asking people to do, like many of us, all you, myself, all of us are doing, asking them to do the right thing, nothing more than the right thing. And what is the right thing? That nobody's human rights should be violated at all, no matter who you are, what religion you are, nothing at all. So why is it happening? It's happening because our people, you know, are allowing it to happen. Why? Because we are funded. We're getting resources from these people. We lose direction. That's why I say what we need in government here is we need statesmen and stateswomen. We don't need politicians. If we can have statesmen and stateswomen, our battle is won. So you are correct in your observation. People even align themselves with the colors, you know. They probably had conditions that you must be blue and white. But Devon City was blue, red, and white, man.
Hey, the Charos, they love the city. I remember that, Amit. If it was a Sunday today, if you're a lighty, you'll be getting ready to go to Old Kingsmead. I remember that with your uncle,
well,
your palus.
I remember that. I remember scaling the walls. I remember all that. I remember taking the train back to capacity, jumping off in Churchill Road Station across the road from the stadium. Oh, I remember that all. We used to look forward to it.
Yeah, those were the days, Amit. And I think
go
great
home
time.
Depressed if city lost.
The whole week was destroyed for us. And and then the you know, the tea in the flask, it tasted all the better, and the sandwiches too, Amit.
Yeah, but it was safe. It was secure. It was fun. There was excitement. You enjoyed it, you know. You know, it was an outing on its own. You know, that is what was good about it. But more importantly, there was no incident. You traveled by train, packed to capacity. People were standing right at the door, you know. But at the end of the day, they had fun. They had, you know, they enjoyed it. So, yes. And the standard was high.
Yeah, and the turnstiles were just turning and turning. Tickets. Tickets and tickets. Ahmed, moving on, looking at a message on the screen here, and it's from Ismail. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Really enjoying the program, Bruce Shaf. May I ask Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imam about the Palestinians? There are definitely factions in the Palestinians that is spoiling the thrust towards a unified Palestine. It is this Mahmoud Abbas, and he's the one that's selling out the Palestinians. No matter how much we do for them and how much we have collected for them, and maybe a point to make is we collected millions and millions in cash and kind. We also sent cement and foodstuffs and medicine. But all these, I believe, rotted at the borders of Israel because they never let it go through. These are issues that were not addressed. And I know, Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imam, perhaps you could get this investigated also, because sometimes the Israelis are having the last laugh on us. How do you respond to Ismail there, Ahmed?
You know, to some extent, your observation is correct. I've been getting some calls since the visa free entry for Palestinians, and that it has made headlines all over. And there are some people that are calling me who are showing me pictures and videos of that the hospitals and the clinics are empty with no medication at all, nothing. And they're pleading, they are saying, can we please send some medication and things, please? That's what they are saying. Now, why would they say that if the thing is normal as, we, you know, the supplies are, you know, getting through? Clearly, it's not. So, you know, and yes, indeed, something must be done, and I will raise it. I will be speaking to the Palestinian embassy about this as well and tell them, these are what I'm getting. What are you doing about it? And then, you know, we must, even if it means gift of the givers organization that have the ability to assist, but go out and go and assist our people. But you are correct. What's the point in getting it there if it doesn't get across to the people who need it most? But you have my word, my brother. I will raise it this week. For certainly I will raise it. In fact, I will get a hold of the Palestinian Authority immediately after this call and discuss it to them and ask them what is going on.
Hey, Ismail, you heard what Ahmed said. And plus, it's recorded. I'll give Ahmed the podcast. He will play it for the Palestinian authorities. You go to the embassy and tell them this is what happened. You know, Ahmed, I can tell you many years ago, I used to deputize for the late Ibrahim Genghis Rahimullah on his program, Sabah al-Khair on CII Radio. And I remember one morning, I was talking to a professor in Gaza. And, you know, and I posed this question to him. I said, yes, we're sending in all these aids and others. He told me, brother, I tell you, by Allah's name, none of these things get through to our Palestinian people. The Israelis just wouldn't let it go through. They let it rot and sometime expiry dates. Go to the sheds and go and see the medicine. It has expired. The foodstuffs are rotting. And Ahmed, here you have the ideal opportunity. I mean, I'm talking about 20 years ago, Ahmed.
Yes, my brother, you can be rest assured. The moment I put this phone down, I will be in touch with the embassy right now. Right now, we'll be in touch with them to find out exactly what is going on and also give them the details of those that are raising concerns and complaints that the stuff is not reaching them. And what are they doing about it? I mean, you know, this is something that I think I'm going to have to raise in Parliament. Why? We should put sanctions against the state of Israel if this is what they are doing to the people there. If they're not allowing the people to have access to medication, what are you basically trying to do? You know, so yes, indeed, I can assure you that I'm not going to sit back on it. We are going to address it as early as immediately after this phone is put down, the program is over, I can assure you.
You know, I'm also thinking aloud. I mean, we are not the only people that collect for the Palestinian issues. It is around the world. I mean, there's billions and billions of dollars being collected. What's stopping or what's not stopping the Israelis of putting that money into their own bank accounts, Ahmed?
Well, you know, it's a good, you know, Brother Shepherd, you know, I want to make a point. You see, if it takes South Africa, do you know we have a lot of NGOs and NPOs too? Tons of them. And billions of rands are flowing in here. Billions. Is there any mechanisms to ensure that that money is getting to the right people? That it's actually going down? No. I know of NGOs, every time I know these people are going out into five-star hotels and they're staying, but nothing is really getting done on the ground. What do they do? You know, even these organizations who claim to protect the woman, gender-based violence, what are they doing? They come when it's time, when there's a bail application, and they put out a 50-rand placard there to say no bail for the rapist. Have they done anything at all, to prevent these women, protect them from being raped or assaulted, abused? No, nothing. So the question is, you know, what is the purpose of all these NGOs? You've got to be very careful who you give your money to, because you don't know that the money is reaching the people for which you're giving the money. So it's very, very important, I think, that we must address these things. You are correct that not only from here, all over the world, billions of rands are going through to the Palestinian cause. And yet Palestinians are suffering. They got nothing. So I think it's another matter that needs attention, and I agree.
Well, Ahmed, are you the man of action? And alhamdulillah, the right question comes at the right time when you are with us. And alhamdulillah, Allah bless you. And I know you will take these issues forward. And, you know, I'm quite privileged that I talk to you. Alhamdulillah. Hey, Ahmed, you know, I talk to you 6 days of the week.
Yeah. You're part of my life. I just hope that you're going to leave me my name in your will.
You got the check. There's it there. Can you see that check? I'm giving you a blank check. Look at it. Write the figure, Ahmed.
Let me also tell you about the latest headline news. Can you imagine? South Africa has made history, man. History. First time in history has South Africa been able to advertise, adjudicate after receiving applications. And the applications, I'm told, is about 100 or 200 for a 2 billion rand contract. And it was awarded all in 23 days after advertising, giving them time, for the deadline for the advertising, people sending in their, doing their calculations, sending in their bids, you sending them the rejection letters or requesting further information. The bid committee is all sitting, everything approved. 23 days, what a miracle. And guess what's the beauty of it all? The MMC who was behind this whole thing from the EFF in Ekurhuleni, where is the stance that we are going to be doing only insourcing? What happened to the insourcing? Now you went and outsourced the tender, the security tender. I leave the rest to my brothers and sisters. You people can interrogate within yourselves what you think is going on there.
Well, in other words, I'm going to say,
yeah,
you better read in between the lines. And if you can't read in between the lines, you'll be caught in that web.
Can you imagine? 23 days, hundreds of applications.
Unreal.
Now the matter is going to court. How do you like that one?
Too good. Too good. They're taking it to another level. Another level.
Look at the hypocrisy. 1 week you talk about only insourcing. Next week you're giving a contract. And then the next month, you're having a birthday celebration. Wow. What a
celebration. Mm. I tell you, I'm already taking the ban. You know, a great morning in your company.
Now you know why, my brother, that I keep saying, including to the deputy president on Friday, please stop all politicians from having anything to do with deployment or tenders and procurement. Everything else will work perfectly. But will they do it? No. That's the problem you're sitting with. They know that if they do that, it's going to affect them as well. But it's the only solution, I want to tell you. No other thing. So you can imagine, from when you said that you're going to insource, next thing you're not insourcing. You're outsourcing because it's mega bucks involved, isn't it? So can you see what is happening, how political parties are laughing all the way to the bank? Yeah.
Well, absolutely, Ahmed. You know, I can tell you a great morning in your company. Tuesday coming up, it's going to be 55 minutes. On a note, where Mac Maraj just heard a clip of his, where he says that today politics has become a business. It's no more about serving the people. It's a business. And I think he hit the nail on the head, Ahmed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has become a business. He's correct.
Yeah. Mac, you are correct. You heard what Ahmed said. You hit the nail on the head. Ahmed, your parting words before I let you go.
It's a business. It's all about money. It's all about money. Mm. So I think we need a rethink of the kind of people who represent us. Let's come together, brothers and sisters. Let's identify those with ethics, morals, values, and the necessary skills. And let's take South Africa forward. It's the only way. No other way will it work.
Ahmed, brilliant indeed. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.